It's 12:30 here in the beautiful city of Port Townsend with wonderful rain coming down just the way it's supposed to be here in the Pacific Northwest. And as usual on Thursday, it is time for Brewocracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host.
Yeah. I jumped up a little bit.
I'm looking at you, John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, and we have
There you go.
Yeah. And we have guests today.
We have
wall-to-wall guests.
I feel free myself introducing our esteemed guests. It's awesome because I get to work with these individuals pretty regularly, and it's a real honor and pleasure. We have both County Commissioner Greg Brotherton.
Hello.
Hi, Greg.
And County Administrator Mark McCauley with us today. We're going to have some fun today.
We're going to talk about things in the county, which we never talk about. We talk about things which are in the city, which are in the county.
That's a really interesting point, Taylor. Let's get into it. Let's just remind everybody listening, because I'd like to believe that we are all the county, and actually a large part of the county is the city. And I don't want to be too tongue-in-cheek about this, but having worked for an organization that staff was larger than the entire population of our city, we need each other pretty badly. I mean, we work together partly because it's fun, because we've got some really great connections, personally, but also we kind of need each other, and we can't afford to squander time being on different teams. So I will say the county team is the city team, and vice versa. Is that fair to say, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, we value the relationship we have with the city, and John, you brought that to life when you arrived here. And in my capacity as county administrator, I very much appreciate your open communication and your friendly demeanor. And it's a pleasure, for sure.
It's all a ruse, Mark. No,
it's a good ruse.
And I know this hasn't, traditionally, yeah, at least historically, this wasn't always the case. But I do know roughly with the arrival of John, and I'm not sure why, but it's in the water, I think. The coordination and communication has improved.
It was a rough time, too. It was a time that we had to really buckle down and get together.
Because it was also concurrent with COVID.
Yeah, right as COVID started, John joined, and we had a fairly new board of the county commissioners, and you had a bunch of new council members. And I think it's John, it's elected officials in both the county and the city, and recognizing that the issues that we are impacted by, that we're trying to impact, they impact all of us. And, we are all residents of the county. So I really appreciate that.
Well, now there's also the intergovernmental board, which is made up of both city, county, PUD, and port. Did I get that right?
And yeah, Greg is the official member of that 16 elected member body.
Mm-hmm.
That's all of us working together.
Yeah.
So a herd of cats.
Yeah. And it's an award-winning organization. I think John...
That's literally award-winning, right? They won an award, right?
John wrote up the nomination, and that group was recognized. ICMA?
Yeah, it was the International City County Management Association, as well as the Association of Washington Cities this past year. So, the group does great work, and it's really a pleasure for me to see elected members. They're all great personalities as it is, but we have necessary friction between agencies, because sometimes there are overlaps or things we disagree on, and we have to do that pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. But to see 16 members coming together repeatedly every quarter, I think every quarter, right, Greg?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To have a conversation, to make decisions, to work together, it's pretty inspiring as a resident of the county and city myself.
And it started, to give awards of funds when some of the initial COVID dollars were the CARES dollars, and we brought this together.
They had to have the organization in order to...
We didn't have to. We really just wanted to engage with our partners, because a lot of the CARES money, I can't even remember what the acronym stands for, came to the county, but it was for, filling in those gaps that COVID created. And so working with our partners at the city and the port and the PUD was natural. And then we had a bunch of subcommittees out from that. And even after the money dried up, the partnership's been really fruitful. And I think, keeping that conversation going, all of our administrators get together once a month or twice a month.
Yeah, we call ourselves the A-Team, and every Tuesday at 2 o'clock we meet, most typically at Point Hudson.
This would be Aaron Berg from the port. And
Kevin Street from PUD, John
all
and
administrators,
myself.
That's the A.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm trying to think, who's Face Man, who's B.A. Baracus?
Yeah. Just look at me, what do you think? Yeah. You tell me.
Yeah, I'm Stretch.
Yeah, it brings back memories of the
80s. Yeah, and, you know, the teamwork continued when the American Rescue Plan Act funds came to the county because, you know, the city's got a couple of major initiatives underway. One is Evans Vista at the edge of town. The county gave the city $500,000 in ARPA money to get that project going. And another $100,000 for the Community Health and Wellness Center effort that's underway. And we gave $900,000 to the PUD for broadband and $150,000 to the port for their 75-ton lift.
The little one.
That's the new lift.
That's the new lift.
Not very many tons there. Yeah.
Hardly a boat or two.
Pardon?
I said hardly a boat or two.
And I think we covered a quarter of the cost of that. And so it's just a great partnership.
I think before, Mark, you were going to say that, I was going to go back to CARES and what Greg was saying about it really, you know, didn't have to award funding. That was really within the county's, you know, decision-making authority to award funding that, you know, the city received some ARPA and CARES funding as well, but not the same as the county. And it was really the benevolence of the county saying, look, let's make this decision together. They didn't have to, but I think that's illustrative of the partnership and, you know, let's get everybody to the table, decide what our priorities are and award that funding.
Yeah, I realize I've been looking at this from a city-centric point of view and saying, well, there's the city and then there's everything that's not the city. And when you said, well, we awarded money to the city to do this, I realize you award money to different organizations to do different things, and the city is an organization within the county that gets stuff done.
Right.
Yeah, I really enjoy going to and presenting at Board of County Commission meetings to see their process. I mean, I do watch a lot of the meetings myself on Mondays. You can come and watch Greg and his colleagues in action. And Mark, you're staffing that day-long activity of policymaking. But it's great because we're making a pitch. We made a pitch. We said, this is why it matters to the county residents. This is, you know, and we are rightfully scrutinized because, you know, unfortunately there isn't money to do everything everyone wants to do. And so it's competitive. And
so the question is, what do you, as the city, what do you propose doing? How are you going to do it? How much is it going to cost? Who's it going to benefit? Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you know, Greg and Heidi and Kate ask challenging questions and, you know, I feel like we need to sit up straight and actually deliver something really crisp because, you know, they've got limited time and limited resources to dole out.
Yeah.
County government works a little different than city. There's only three commissioners where there's seven city council people.
Right.
And of course, that means that none of you can ever talk to each other besides in a meeting.
I mean, we can talk about our families. We could carpool together, but two of us form a quorum of the Board of County Commissioners.
Right.
You know, another one of the partnerships that we have with the city that's really great is, you know, when we councilmatically approved the sales tax increase for housing, that was in partnership with the city. They could have opted out of that. So, like, I sit on the Housing Fund Board with one other commissioner, but that's a group of seven people, so we aren't a quorum on that. So Kate and I both sit on the Housing Fund Board, but because that body, we don't form a quorum, we can talk about housing issues. So there's different issues.
The rules is what you can talk about. Right.
Right. You know, transit, we don't form a quorum on that board. And again, that's another one that we work with the city, and we're adding new elected members, to that board.
On the other hand, you meet more often than city council meets once a week, once every other week for business meetings, and once a week for
just to be totally clear, first and third Mondays are business meetings, second Mondays are workshops, there are some special meetings and ICG meetings, but much less regularly than the county.
But the county meets more often, right? How often?
Yeah, we usually meet every Monday, barring holidays. Next Monday is Martin Luther King Day, so we're meeting on Tuesdays. We just keep it to a Tuesday.
And you meet for a fairly long period. It's
all day.
It's
all
day.
You know, we've been at the beginning of the year. We've actually got out. Well, I thought we were going to get out early.
Yeah, we broke early in the morning, and then we had one agenda item in the afternoon that You know, we all thought, well, maybe this will be a quick afternoon, but it ended up being, what, a two-hour discussion about ARPA priorities. And but some days we start at 9, we adjourn at noon, we start at 1:30, and we go up until the courthouse closes at 4:30.
And we value that. You know, we can't have private conversations about county work, but yeah.
But that's the point. You have the conversation. You have
shining light on it.
You have it in public, which is really where we want to have those conversations.
It's making sausage in public is sometimes not the most elegant, but as long as it tastes good at the end of the day. Right?
Yeah, right. And it's useful. We're taking public comment on most of the agenda items. You know, we have the consent agenda in the morning, which could be... December 19th, I think we had 48 items.
That's a big one.
January. So just for folks who don't know, consent agenda is the things which you are going to pass without discussion.
Mostly, yes. Occasionally, there'll be an item on consent that a commissioner will want to pull.
Which is their prerogative.
To talk about, yeah. And it's their prerogative to do
this
that.
This is to move sort of housekeeping things and move them
forward. Contracts forward,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Now, a lot of those housekeeping things involve a lot of money and are complex, but they're relatively routine.
Well, and they may be a second or a third reading. And the commissioners clearly have the paperwork ahead of time, have read through that. And they know if there's something they need to pull out, they go, hey, I can't quite agree to that. And it gets pulled off. Does that happen very often?
No, not often. No. If an item's pulled, there may be a question and I'll contact the appropriate staff member, get an answer, provide that to the board, at which time they'll make a motion and approve that separately.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens, I know, for the city ahead of time, right? Where a counselor may have a question, get the question answered, it stays on the consent agenda.
And we don't really do first readings and second readings like you guys do at the city.
I think that's
a distinction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depends on what they are making a decision about. Mostly it's resolutions, but change to code requires ordinance, requires public hearing often, two readings. For instance, changing the hours of the city council meetings. There's a proposal to change it to 6:00 instead of 6:30, kind of threading the needle, I think, as I might have said, between, staff time, freshness of people's minds, because we go sometimes till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, not often, but sometimes. And when you're trying to get, as a elected body is trying to get to a decision on something complicated at 11 o'clock at night. And
it's hard.
If you're like me, you get up at 5, you're kind of done by 11. So, that change in those hours requires two readings, a change to the code, and that's coming back to council, I believe, next week.
For the second reading?
For the second reading, yeah.
Did anything change between the first and the second reading?
No, but that's a great point, Commissioner. You can change things in between readings. Technically, what we do, kind of rule of thumb, if they change substantially, it doesn't say you can't
clock.
Do a third reading. We used to have touch points codified, but the rules committee that kicked off not too long after I started made it slightly more flexible. But the principle is we want to have people have the opportunity to say, hold on, you haven't thought about this, or we object to that. So we want to give...
And by people, you mean the public.
The public, yeah. We want to make sure people... And frankly, council members, if things change quite substantially, sometimes it requires more iteration. I mean, you'll see at commission and also at city council, open discussion with difference of opinion. And oftentimes they land the ship and everything's great. Sometimes you just need more time to figure it out.
John, let's remind people who we are and who we're talking to.
We are Port Townsend in Jefferson County. And we're talking to ourselves.
And we are also KPTZ, and we're Bureaucracy Now.
Sorry.
It's all right, John.
Can't help myself.
That's my role.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go for it, but I don't do the call signal very often. So.
And we are talking to Mark McCauley, who is the Jefferson County Administrator. And Greg Brotherton, who is Jefferson County District 3 Commissioner.
Indeed.
And we're here with John Morrow. I'm Taylor Clark. We're here every Thursday at 12:30. We'll be here until 12:55. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about, because I think you're getting a little short-timer attitude there, John.
I hope not.
When do you leave?
What have you heard? Yeah, so I'm going to be going away for a number of weeks, finally taking that vacation that two councils ago told me to do. And so I'm missing, I think, four Brunels. And so we've lined up some guests, and we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that at the end of the hour.
So
from a county standpoint, what's hot in the county? What is, you know, the city, it's,
Maybe before we hear about last night.
We should, maybe before we talk about what's hot in the county.
Let me start.
What's hot in the city part of the county, John?
Holy cow. I could barely sleep last night. I was so enthused by, we had an open house, the first open house on envisioning the future of the golf course in Mountain View campus, where we sit right now. And, you know, I kind of hoped to get 80 to 100 people. We planted at the Fort Worden Commons.
Well, we've been talking about it for weeks Brunel.
You know, and
thank you.
Well, thank you to KPTZ. Yeah. I think that helped get the words out.
Thank you to the public.
Yeah.
Because apparently
there were more than 80 people. There, we estimated somewhere between 3 and 350 people who showed up. And it was an open house. So we had, you know, walk around, look at boards and visuals. We had presentation. We had Q&A. And then we actually had a voting exercise with dots about preferences. And I was just really in a very positive mood because I have not seen that number of people gather for a public process since I started here. And because over 100 people came just to the, you know, meet the finalist candidates for city manager. I thought, wow, this is an engaged community. I cannot wait to get in there and have some fun engaging and listening. And then, of course, COVID happened. So to see 350 people in a room, all interested, I bet there are at least 350 different opinions.
Passionately interested.
But everybody wanted to be engaged. I just thought, this is the kind of community that I wanted to land into. And it really validates kind of why I'm here, actually. So it was a lot of fun. We heard a lot of great ideas. We don't have a lot of time, and you can't really share the mic with 350 people. So we tried to truncate involvement to get quick questions and answers. I stuck around until it was, you know, time to lock the doors way after the presentation. But, you know, the mayor and I believe almost every council member was there. You know, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the city and I think county were there to talk and listen and to learn about this first open house. Now, there's another one today.
I was just going to say, so if you didn't attend yesterday or if you did and you have...
If you just couldn't get enough like me, you can go back. This one's virtual and the timing is different because we realize people work, people have dinner and child obligations and other things. So tonight, it's really afternoon. It's 4 o'clock till 5:30. It's virtual and the link is on our website. You can go to cityofpt.us/envision and the link is there. Come join us and learn about the project. There'll be a survey you can fill out. There is one on that website you can go to now, but it's a community decision. It affects all of us. So it's great to get a large number of people to participate.
When do you think you'll be able to process the input that you've received at these two meetings?
I think maybe even as we speak, Carrie Height, who's been on the show a number of times, our director of park strategy, is probably working right now with a consultant team that put on the event with Carrie. It's a lot of data. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that probably after tonight because we're getting similar, I'm assuming similar turnout. I'm hoping to crash the internet if we can. So please show up, folks. It's important to all of us. Even if the answer is it's going to stay the same, we want to proactively, deliberately make that decision together.
All right. Back to the county.
Big stuff coming. Well, the biggest stuff that's coming up.
The sewer, and that's the big one.
That's the big one, absolutely. It's actually already under construction. We did a little sidewalk by the Jefferson County Library last year, and there's a little piece. When we did that sidewalk, we put a little piece of the sewer in. So it's already under construction, but it's really going to dig in March and April.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, we had a workshop this week with the board and with our public works director. He just recently hired an engineer to help carry the workload there. It's a $36 million project. And some of the ARPA money that we were talking about earlier has the board set aside some of that to provide cash flow to finance the project. But that's really going to be an economic development driver once it's put in. You know, Habitat's going to put 110 housing units.
I was just going to say, is this going to change? This has an impact on housing, right?
Exactly. It'll allow increased density. It'll allow more commercial development. And that means sales tax and increased property values. And All that has positive impacts on county revenue streams.
We're still going to value the urban growth area that is Port Townsend. You know, we got the big sewer here, and yours is a gravity sewer, right?
Yeah.
This one's grinder pumps. So that was one of the big things that was going to be a big expense. Every property has a grinder pump on it with this.
Oh, really? Okay.
With this one. So it was the last funding really enabled the county to pay for those grinder pumps. And then the PUD will operate the sewer once it's built. So it's a great partnership.
It's a pressurized system. And, you know, our public works folks are doing great work acquiring easements on private property so we don't have to dig into the state highway right away, which would require us to put the pipes in much deeper than we would if it's on private property. And so that saves a great deal of money. And so they're doing value engineering, trying to keep the cost as low as they can.
Now, I'm thinking about, you know, there's sort of two pieces of this kind of project is there's housing, but there's also sort of the opposite problem of sprawl. And you mentioned the, what did you call Port Townsend? The
urban growth area.
Thank you. And what does this project do in terms, does it tend to concentrate growth in the Hadlock area and maybe cut down on sprawl? What's the impact on the overall area?
Well, it would allow denser development. It will allow QFC to expand, something they wanted to do for a long time. They put in a new septic system that'll have to come out in order for them to expand. But if they can run their effluent to the treatment plant, it'll allow that expansion, and it'll allow other commercial enterprises to come in and build.
It's primarily a commercial area, the Phase 1 sewer, because you really need that uptick of people actually using it. So the big water generators was sort of how it was pieced together. I mean, this has been a gleam in the eye of Jefferson County for, 2011, 2008?
Oh, yeah, even before that.
Yeah, so it's it was hard to imagine being able to find over $30 million to make this a reality. So it's often been, what can we actually get across the finish line? And now we can see the finish line, and we're looking for opportunities like the Mason Street project that Habitat's doing. The Housing Authority owns the Garden Court apartments that's in there, and they're talking about expanding. So looking for opportunities to address that housing crisis that we know the city has been working on too.
Yeah, and it seems like we got some stuff sort of out there.
Yeah,
kind of coming towards us, which is encouraging. You know,
workforce housing needs density, and you need to thicken those areas to get multifamily housing. That's the way that we're going to be able to make the biggest swing.
Yeah, and the beauty of the design is it's a modular bio reactor.
There's an expandability to this.
Right.
Okay.
You can add another module to service more homes or businesses for subsequent expansion.
We are sort of running low. We got about 3.5 minutes left. Is there anything particular that either of you would like to?
Well, I've got two initiatives the county has underway. We've hired a consultant to help us develop a strategic plan. We have a plan from 2010. I would argue that it's obsolete, and so there'll be a great deal of community engagement trying to find out what the citizens of this great county would like our county to be as a government.
So you'll be having, there'll be
yeah, there'll be
meetings. And, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we won't get 350 people there, I don't imagine, but,
we're
very interested in what the public thinks about the county and what they think it ought to become. And then because of climate change and whatnot, hotter, drier summers, we're at increasing risk of fire. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to secure a consultant to help us develop community wildfire plans for our communities and for the county as a whole.
And that's particularly important in a rural kind of area where people may have big trees next to their houses.
Exactly right.
Right. And they're going to burn to the ground. Yeah. Okay. And Greg, anything from you?
You know, we worked a lot on forestry issues this last couple of years. We've been working on our own, kind of using some of our rural lands, timberlands, and developing a community forestry approach. And we've been doing a lot of interface with DNR on, you know, what is the future, you know, as we deal with climate change, adaptation, and mitigation, what's the future of forestry, and what's a sustainable load of wood, of timber to cut in Jefferson County? We talk a lot about food resilience. I'm interested in timber resilience, building material resilience, and also really protecting our environment and, you know, the natural splendor that brought me and my family here, and I know brought a lot of other people too.
Yeah, and you should also, Greg, talk about the junior taxing districts that rely on income from timber harvests.
Right.
Yeah. And that's our fire districts and others. And
libraries.
Right. So you have this, you got this, you're sort of standing in two boats there.
Yeah, and absolutely. Yeah, there's tension between those two objectives.
Yeah. We should do this again with county stuff.
I almost think I expected more coffee, I have to say, with the name of the there's no coffee in Brewocracy.
Oh, you're supposed bring your own
oh,
coffee.
Okay. Well, now I know.
Sorry.
Maybe in our new studio we'll look into
Well, I'll buy you a Keurig.
So I wanted to talk, John, you've done a great job of putting together a schedule upcoming here, and I thought I'd just quickly run down it.
Let's do it.
So next week, Mayor David Faber and I, just the two of us, are going to be...
And I, yep.
Oh, you're still here.
I mean,
next
I
week.
Could just listen, but yep, I'll be there next
okay.
week.
Okay, and then the week after that, the 26th, we have council member Aislinn Dumani.
Yeah.
And she's one of our new council people, along with Steve King, who was with me here, was it last week?
Yep.
And we have library, and then on the 2nd of February, library director Melody Weaver, or...
And.
Oh, it's going to be an and.
And.
And. That'll be an interesting. Mm-hmm. We're going to discuss libraries and policing.
Exactly.
Simultaneously.
Oh, they're ready for that.
That will be good. And then on the 9th, Monica McHager, council member McHager, will be here with Connie Anderson. Monica is the chair of the finance committee, and Connie is the finance director.
They're both lovely. I don't know if you've met them.
I have, actually.
Okay, great. Great.
And then it looks like, do we get, did I skip one? No, we get Aislinn back.
Aislinn's back.
Oh, with the planning director, with Emma Bolin, your new planning director.
So Aislinn's the chair of the Infrastructure and Development Committee.
Right.
And so Emma and Steve tag team that. And so each of them get a chance to talk about their work. And Aislinn is the chair. So she's on twice. Look at that.
And then on the 23rd, council member Owen Rowe with your city attorney, our city attorney, Heidi Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Steve King again.
Yeah. So that's right. Steve will be officially acting in my absence, provided council accepts that on Monday agenda bill.
I asked him that question last week. I said, when John's gone, who's in charge? And he goes, I think it's me.
I mean, this maybe the last word here, just like thinking about the team, you know, there needs to be somebody to sign things. And there are so many capable people I get to work with. And I know it's going to be an all team, kind of all hands on deck. And everyone's going to kind of do a little lift because that's how we work together.
Because you won't be here to do the lifting. Yeah, okay. Well. So now we have reached, so I'm going to say thank you, John, for joining us.
Thanks.
And he says, quickly forgetting his own name, thank you, Mark and Greg, for being here. And great to have you back. And
let's do it again.
Love
it. Let's do it again.